ജയം വിശ്വപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ ഇഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീശിവാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാശീല ബഹുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിതില പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിശ്വപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ ഇഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീശിവാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശരഹദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപരിധാംക്ക് ലിംഗമായിക്ക് യമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഗോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഗോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഗോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശിശു ശ്രീ ഗുരു എൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശിശുര പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശദാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർഹവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം മമ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി ആധയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നമോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം ത്വം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്മയാദിതരതസ്ആർതേഷവിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻതേനേബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായആദികവയേമുഹ്യന്തിയത്സൂരയാതേജോവാരിവദംയഥാവിനിമയോ യത്രത്രിസർഗോമൃഷാധാംനാസ്യേനസദാനിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യംപരംധീമഹിധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരേശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭേ തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം വിപദവാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോത്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം വൈവാഹനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിദേഷകാന്തമന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളരേകം പുനിതാദൃതാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജുംബദാമുരാരേ മധുരിന്നാ കനികാവികാവികാവി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീവൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ
యాసం హైదరోగీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోవీ చరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః పీతాంబరం కర విరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదయీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయమది సుందర మందహాసం వాదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి వమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచానం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపామహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద Last Sunday, we talked about this verse 28. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, Tasmad asadabhidhyanam yatha svapna manoratham hitva mai samadhalsva manomad bhava bhavidam. That is the, that's where we stopped, isn't it? So you can see what Krishna says there, that in order to become Krishna conscious, the mind has to come away from the material world. It has to pull itself out of this material consciousness. In other words, Krishna says, asadabhidhyanam. Asadabhidhyanam is the word Krishna has used. Asadabhidhyanam means any dhyanam or any meditation about asat. That is asadabhidhyanam. Asat means whatever that is not sat. Sat is the only sat is the soul. Everything else in relationship with matter and body, they are all asat. So Krishna says, Tasman asatabhidhyanam yatha svapnam manoratham. Because asatabhidhyanam brings to svapnam and manoratham. Svapnam means dream and manoratham means to be in the mental platform or the mental chariot. Mental chariot. Krishna says there that this world is a dream and all our thoughts centered around this world is also a dream. And our mind is absorbed in all that. And because of that, it is impossible to develop the knowledge of the Sat, realization of the Sat. That is why Krishna, first thing what he warned us was about this body, not to get absorbed in the body. Krishna calls it as echad avrtado bhayam. The only thing this body does is, throughout life it will frighten you all the time, continuously frightening you. And we are frightened that this body is going to go one day. We know that. But till we fight against that whole life and constantly threatens us with some disease or some kind of problems with the body, when it comes, we get frightened. Echad avrutado bhayam. Krishna is using that word. Krishna created this material body and Krishna is telling us this is the nature of this body. Echad avrutado bhayam. Constantly it will frighten you throughout life, one thing or the other. One followed by the other, in other words. So, that is very nature. Krishna says, echad avrutado bhayam. Then, that is our, what we call, our destiny. There's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. That's just a destiny. And Krishna says there, that every moment, this fear that means any danger going to happen to the body later, this fear will continue to exist. So, so many devotees, they have prayed to Krishna that when they got very, very ill, they prayed to Krishna, please relieve us from this distress. But they used that distress favorably for Krishna consciousness. In other words, they asked Krishna, if you help us, to cure this illness, at least we can do something in spiritual life. And if the prarabdham is not very heavy, Krishna has helped devotees sometimes in that way. But many devotees, that is as far as an individual is concerned. But what Krishna is saying here is that this is a defect in the body. We have to recognize that, with the problem with this body. So, and our consciousness is always how to get this body under our control. How to get this body under our control. So that is asada vidhyanam, to think that the body will come into our control or it will function the way we want the body to function. That may not happen. That is an important point. Tasmad asada vidhyanam is yatha sapna manoratham. He says it will remain as a dream for you whole life about this body. Body will just remain as a dream. Same thing what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayoravi drishkvandam sthanayor tatu darshivi. In the second chapter. It's a very important verse. That if we accept that principle, then we know the body is asad. There's nothing we can do about that. Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. So sat is always has got existence. Asat has no existence at any time. So this is understood by the great sages who have studied that. They have come to the conclusion that it is no point in wasting time on an asat. On an asat. It has come, it will stay sometime and will go. When the business is finished, it will go. And therefore, first best thing is, while living within this body, to come out of the bodily platform, bodily identity, and come to the spiritual state, spiritual consciousness. If we manage to do that, then Krishna is saying that, then Krishna says you don't have to go to another material body again. That is the advantage from there. So Krishna has spoken about this in the Bhagavad Gita. So those who are very learned, and those who are learned, Krishna says, the symptom whether what someone is learned or not is that if they keep their attention always focused on the sat, not on the asat. One who is focused on the asat, as far as Krishna is concerned, is not learned. He is not intelligent, in other words. He says here, because what they will do is they will keep their attention on the sat and do vyavaharam with the asat. Do vyavaharam with the asat. If we know it very well, something is sat and something is asat, that means something what is real and something what is not real, we should keep the real, our attention on the real, and we should do business with the unreal thing. With the unreal thing. That is what Krishna is saying there. That keep the sat. It is a very, very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. The very root of spiritual life is in that verse. The very, very, very root of spiritual life is in that verse. If you take that inside and reflect on it strongly, you can see what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Whole Srimad Bhagavatam is centered around this principle. Sat will always remain. It is existing all the time. Asat has no existence. It may appear to have sometimes some reality, but in fact, it has no reality. Asat has no reality. That is why, of all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, on that particular verse, many of the acharyas have given very extended commentaries for those who want to understand. For those who want to understand. Nasado vidyade bhavo. What is sat will always remain. So always in spiritual life, to differentiate between sat and asat. Intelligent people will keep their attention focused on the sat and they will do business with the asat. Because they know asat is not permanent, it is a temporary thing. It will come, it will go. It has no permanent existence. One should not keep their attention on asat. And that is where we all commit the mistake. What do? We keep our attention on the asat and do business with the sat. Isn't it? That happens to all of us. Because in ignorance, that is where the difference between a materialist and a spiritualist. A personality who is in spiritual consciousness, he will never do business with sat. All through the Shastram, you will see, Shastram is only telling us one thing, that Shastram is not there to frighten us. frightening is not the business of business of the Shastram. That is somehow developed in the society. Society is making us to terrorizing us with the spiritual life. But that's not spiritual life. Spiritual life is based on knowledge. It's based on knowledge. Krishna is giving us knowledge. Krishna is never told. And even you can see at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? Arjuna says, I have told you everything. Now you think about it. Yadhechasi tathakuru. Do what you think is proper. Never once Krishna said that if you don't do this, you are going to be in trouble. No. Krishna says, if you think about this, this is how the situation is. He says like that, isn't it? This is the situation. And then yadhechasi tathakuru. He says, in the 18th chapter, you will see that verse, that very end, you will notice that verse. Krishna's, the way Krishna mentions that to Arjuna is that, Arjuna says, Nashto Mohas Pradur Labdha, that is verse 73. Krishna, Arjuna says, Nashto Mohas Pradir Labdhva Tul Prasada Maya Achuda Stidosmi Gadasandeha Karishye Vajanam Tava. My doubts have gone, I am clear in my mind. And in answer to that, later on, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, it is like this, that I have explained to you everything. And if you have, now it is up to you to think about it and do what is proper. What is proper? Yeah, if you look at the verse 63, Krishna says, Idide jnanam akhyadam. Jnanam akhyadam. Jnanam akhyadam means, I have given you the proper understanding of things. In Vedic system, there is never a question of frightening people. It is not a system what we follow. Always based on knowledge. Knowledge is our basis. If we know what the situation is, then you can act properly, isn't it? So Vedic philosophy is based on this understanding that you present the facts to the people. Vedas gives us that understanding. This is the situation. This is the situation. That's why it says here, idam de jnanam akhyadam. Jnanam is spoken. Akhyadam. Akhyadam means it's been explained. Idam de, I have explained to you the knowledge of the reality of the situation. Reality, the truth I have explained to you. Idam de jnanam akhyadam. Guhyam guhyadam ammaya. It is also most confidential. Confidential of all the confidential things, of all the knowledges. Of all the knowledge, this is the most confidential. This Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying. And why? Because vimrsheida nasheshena. You can understand this, what I have spoken, and then you reflect on it very well. Vimrshanam. Vimrsheida nasheshena. And then after that, yathechasi tathakuru. Do what you like. It's proper. Act properly. That is the Krishna's message there. So similarly, you can see here that we should, from that verse, Krishna is saying, you should always take shelter of the permanent thing, never a temporary thing. Never a temporary thing. If you take the shelter of permanent thing, you are on the safe side. And the temporary thing, you should do the transactions with, vyavaharam. Vyavaharam with the temporary thing. Temporary vastu, you can, for men, for vyavaharam. And what we do is, temporary things we take shelter, and for the benefit of our temporary material life, and we do business with the permanent thing. With the permanent thing. Do business with Krishna. And take shelter of the temporary things. That is everyone's situation in this world. Majority of the people who have not properly understood spiritual life, what they do, it happens to people who are in spiritual life also. They started taking shelter of property, shelter of followers, shelter of money, bank balance, and shelter of friends, society, relatives and all that. That is taking shelter of the asat. Taking shelter of the asat. taking Krishna shelter and at the same time vyavaharam you have to continue in this world. Vyavaharam will be always with the full understanding it's a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing. So if we do that, Krishna says there will be no distress later. No distress later. So we have to do the opposite way, what we are doing at the moment. At the moment we are taking shelter of the, mainly in the human society, our nature, shelter. One is one, our own shelter within our own ability. Thinking that we can do everything, it is in our control. That capacity of taking shelter of oneself. Secondly, extended family, relative, society, this, that, all that kind of things like that. Taking shelter of that. And thirdly, one's own assets or wealth, what one has supposed to own in this world. All these things are false things. As far as Krishna is concerned, you take shelter of them, you will be in distress tomorrow. So, Dravya Vyavaharam, it says, Krishna for Bhagavad Ashrayam, Krishna for shelter, Dravyam Vyavaharam, wealth for Vyavaharam, for transactions. So, shelter should be given to Krishna. And all other things in this world is meant for vyavaharam. You can use it, but you can't take them shelter. You can use them for whatever purpose they can be utilized. You can utilize them, but you can't take shelter of them. That's the main principle. You can use your wealth for whatever purpose you feel right, but you can't take shelter of the wealth. That will never help. So that is why Krishna is saying here, whichever thing in a certain level you have taken shelter, that will become your object of meditation. This is how it is. Whatever you have taken shelter in this world, that will become your object of meditation. Anusandhanam, it is called in the Shastra. See, for example, if I am completely under the shelter of the wealth in the bank, all the time my concern will be centered around that. It is natural, the human mind is like that. Or sometimes you can see in the youth, young people, they have a lot of faith in their friends, isn't it? That friendship is so strong at that stage, in the 20s, probably till they get married and all, they'll be very much, that friendship will be so close bondage. And they'll always talk about each other, my so-and-so friend is there to help if I'm in trouble, and things like that. This is coming from that. That the wherever we take shelter, that will become the object of meditation inside. Object of meditation inside. This is a common thing. Everyone can notice in a very subtle level that is how life is. That's how our mind works. Some people take shelter of the family. And think that's why some people get so absorbed in the family, because they feel family is their shelter. Family is the shelter. So they put all their energy into it, and even on a subtle level, even when they are not doing anything, the thoughts will be centered around the family. Centered around the family. For some people, it's the job. They've taken shelter of the job. And once they've taken shelter of the job, all the time they'll think about the job. Because that is their shelter. That is, they will continuously, unknowingly, this meditation process inside will work in that way. That's what Krishna is saying here. Tasmad asatavidhyanam yatha swapnamanoratham. Whatever asat you are, asatavidhyanam, whatever meditation you are performing on the asat, the swapnam, your dreams, and your mind, manoratham, will be centered around that. Yatha swapna manoratham. Tasma nasada vidhyanam yatha swapna manoratham. Then Krishna is saying, hitva maisama dhalswam manomad bhava bhavidam. So long as all this is going on, it is difficult to become Krishna conscious. It is difficult to become Krishna conscious. So therefore he says, hitva maisama dhalswam. Give up that meditation of those things. Manomad bhava bhavidam. Be focused on the soul, on Krishna. That's the only way to come out of this. You can say anything we like. We can talk about spiritual life. But ultimately, Krishna's instructions are very clear on that. That if we don't move away from asat to sat, and our attention is not on the sat, our meditation is not on the sat, then what will happen? Asat, we will take shelter of the asat. In other words, our attention will fall onto the asat. That's why he says, Tasmad asatavidhyanam യഥാ സ്വപ്നമനോരഥം ഹിത്വാമൈ സമാധൽസ്വ മനോമദ്ഭാവ ഭാവിതം. സോ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ലീവ് ദീസ് അസദവിധ്യാനം ആൻഡ് കണ്ടിന്യൂ ദി അനുസന്ധാനം ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ. അനുസന്ധാനം ഓഫ് ദി സോൾ, ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് പെർമനന്റ്, വാട്ട് ഈസ് റിയാലിറ്റി? കൃഷ്ണ. ടേക്ക് ഷെൽട്ടർ ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ which is eternal and continue the meditation on that. Anitya vastu which is temporary, if you should not perform anusandhanam. From this instruction you can see whatever transaction we have to do in this world, it should not become an object of meditation, no matter what it is. It should be done and finished with it there. It should not get inside and become a matter object of meditation. If that happens, that means asadabhidhyanam. It is asadabhidhyanam. Asadabhidhyanam is such a dangerous thing that we won't know it. It will come in a natural way inside us. What we will do, we can think about Krishna later. That can wait. This is immediate problem is this, we will say. Right now in front of, this is the reality, we will say. And we will try to sort that out first. And in that process, but Krishna is saying the other way. Krishna is saying, keep fixed on me, on Krishna, and be absorbed in the soul and self-realization. And whatever comes in the asat form for vyavaharam, that you do it and dispose it straight away. Don't keep that inside forever. And that will become a problem. So just like material body, it needs food and it needs medicine or some treatment. Whatever that has to be done, do that. But always too careful not to leave your attention on the body. You're allowed to treat the body with the medicine. You're allowed to have food. That's allowed. But that alone should not become, oh, if I eat this, what will happen if I eat this? And become continuously, constantly meditating on that, on the food, or constantly meditating on the treatment, medicine and all that. That is not a good thing. Body has to be allowed to, body, you should to understand, fully aware that this is what I can do today for the body. I'll just do that and leave it at that. Not more than that. That's why not allowing your attention to fall on the body. Not allow the Shraddha on the body. Therefore, Krishna says, offer the body to me. Then it is Krishna's responsibility. And then after that, whatever happens to the body, that is what Krishna is offered according to the Prarabdham. That if you have to take medicine, you have to take it. If you have to go to hospital, you have to go to hospital. But all the time frightened about that, what's going to happen, and thinking like that, and instead of handing over, allowing the mind to reflect on Krishna, if you allow the mind to reflect on the body and the disease, then that will be causing a lot of problems. That's what Krishna is saying. That similarly, several things in this world, the mind need not have to discuss that. In other words, you don't have to hand over the mind to the world to absorb in the mind. Particularly in Bhakti Yogam process. Krishna, as far as Krishna is concerned, in Bhakti process, our chittam or mind also is meant for Krishna. Let the body stay in this material world. And let the body do its work in this world. And let it do all the business or transactions within this world. That is what Vritrasura said this to Krishna. Isn't it? Vritrasura said this to Hastauja Karmasu. So Hastauja Karmasu, he says, that let the hands do its work, what it has to do, but let the mind not get absorbed in this to such an extent. Tavapadayor manasat tavapadayor hospashyam. That mind should take shelter of Krishna. If you look into Vritrasura's prayers, you will see this in the sixth canto, where Vritrasura said this to Krishna. Then, Aham Hare Tava Padai Gamulam Dasanu Daso Bhavidasmi Bhuya. If you look there, you will see that Vritrasura's statement to Krishna. Vritrasura says to him, that I am in this situation, what I have fallen into, and I have no shelter except that, unless you give me the shelter. And as far as this body is concerned, let it go its own way, wherever it has to go to. So there, Vritrasura said this to Krishna. That is what the Aham hare tava padaika moolam dasa anudaso bhavidasmi bhuyam manasparer asupade gunamste granidava karma karo dukayam nanaga prishtam na japaramishtam na sarvabhaumam narasadivatyam na yoga siddhiramanarbhavam va samanjasatva virahayakankshayam. If there, this he said, Trivargigaya Savikadam Asman Padir Vidate Purushasya Shakram Shukram Tanonumeyo Bhagaval Prasadam Ye Yodurlapo Aginjana Gocharo Nyehi Trivargigaya Savikadam Asman Padir Vidate Purushasya Shakram. That he says, Trivargigaya Savikadam, Trivargigaya Savikadam Asman. Dharmam, artham, kamam, three things we have to function in this world, isn't it? But Uttarasura says the effort to fulfill this dharmam, artham, kamam. Dharmam, kamam means religiosity, economic development and sense gratification. All these three things, Uttarasura is saying here, is waste of time. Is waste of time. Because the he says here that padir vidhate purushasya shakraha, that when one takes shelter of that, it will eventually, it will cheat you. It will, because dharmam, artham, kamam, they can't give you protection. In other words, tadonumeyo bhagaval prasadam ye durlabho akinchana gocharo nyehim. So, that is where devotees' mercy, great devotees' mercy, that comes from in that situation. When one requires that shelter from him, body executes its karma, no harm. And mind also, without getting absorbed in asat topics, without concern about sat, only absorbed in the asat topic, or it's always absorbed in the world, Krishna is saying here, there will be no peace inside. There can never be any peace inside. Sometimes we can see a lot of people when they get very, very old, what happens is that they say, we don't need any money, but still, as a matter of habit, it has become, they find some pleasure in the share market. They've gone old and they don't need the money. They know they have enough money to live and they know they have gone from here very soon. But still, they will take some interest in the stock market. If you ask them, why do you do this, they say that it's just pass time. It's just to pass the time. There are people like that who engage in, just like, and they look at this share market, and like, you know, this blood pressure thing, it goes up and down, isn't it? And similarly, the share market also goes, and the share value is going up and down. They keep looking at it, and they get some pressure out of it, going up and down, this thing. ECG also, I think it's like that, isn't it? So, if you ask them why you are doing this, it's just fun. That's all. They're not, they don't need the money, but they just enjoy it, playing with the shares. So, so if we waste our time in all these things, Krishna is saying that is asat, asadabhidhyanam. That is all asadabhidhyanam. So, nothing is happening. They just enjoy it, watching that. So, just like BP goes up and down, that also goes up and down in the same way. So, and what happens to them? After some time, they'll go to the hospital, lie down and die there. That's all gone, finished. Whole business is over. So, this is how we forget Krishna. This is how we forget Krishna. Very easy to find so many other engagements in this world. You can easily, very easily you can find that how to forget Krishna. Or so many opportunities in this world. Constantly, society will give you to keep you engaged. Because we are frightened about our own mind, isn't it? The mind needs an engagement. When you are sitting quiet, you feel frightened what's going on. So, naturally the mind turns in all directions. Then we have all the other. So, that is what asadabhidhyanam Krishna is talking about. So, here it says that for Bhagavad Dhyanam, for Bhagavad Anusandhanam, or for remembering Krishna, we have to keep the world away. We have to keep the world away. So after doing all nonsense in this world, then Bhagavad Anusandhanam is not going to happen. We are not going to remember about Krishna. Asadabhidhyanam, we have to leave. Just like Krishna says there, tadbhava bhavidam, isn't it? Yada tadbhava bhavidam. And very serious, or very seriously, one who is practicing bhakti yogam, the process of Krishna consciousness, in other words, that and very seriously he have to take Krishna shelter and not allow any of other subjects in this world to come inside. And these what Krishna is saying here is targeting on people who are serious about Krishna consciousness. All these things. What Krishna is saying here is for those who are serious about Krishna consciousness. People are at different levels, take Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Some people will say, I can only do so much, I can't do anything more than that. This is my limit. They'll say, in Krishna consciousness also. So for them, that's their limit. What can you do? They cannot do anything more than that. But some people who are very serious in Krishna consciousness, like just like we mentioned about jnanis, and those who are studying Bhagavad Gita, Shrimad Bhagavatam seriously, and they want to understand and utilize this life and self-realization. Those who are going in that direction, for them Krishna is saying all these things. Otherwise Krishna knows that not everyone is going to give up everything in this world and come to self-realization. Krishna is very much aware of that. Self-realization is not for everyone. That's only for very, very serious people who are serious about spiritual life. And for them, Ekadasi Skandam, Krishna has spoken. So now you know that when things are not happening the way we want that to happen, the only reason for that is we are not serious about it. We are not serious enough. And therefore, all this, we want to adjust material life with spiritual life, which will never be possible. Which will never be possible. So, Krishna is saying here, Tasman asada vidhyanam. Give up this asada vidhyanam. Those who are serious, they cannot mix these two things together. It is not possible. We always try to think, somehow or the other, let my material life go. And if I can manage spiritual life along with that, this mentality we have to get rid of us, from us. Inside. Serious business, sat, is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it is, happens or not happens, not to have been too much concerned about that. Asadavidhyanam. Yadha satna manavaryatham. So this can only happen if we understand sat and asat, isn't it? Sat and asat we have to know first. What is sat, what is asat? Once we know that, Krishna says here that 23, some people have this process of meditation for a short period of time, isn't it? 1 hour or half an hour in a day. Rest of the time, they are busy with their material life. They go for meditation courses and all that. Krishna don't approve any of those courses, to be honest with you. Krishna doesn't appear. Krishna's point is, 23 hours in a day, you are doing nonsense. And in 1 hour, you are doing meditation. What meditation is that? Krishna is asking the question, what kind of meditation is that? If 23 hours you are doing all nonsense and then coming back for meditation for an hour, why did my meditation in the course? They say like that, isn't it? So you cannot perform meditation in that way. So this one point we have to understand very clearly, because from now on Krishna is going to talk about meditation. The remaining verses in the Bhagavadam in this chapter is about meditation. Is about meditation. So Krishna is saying here how one should meditation. One meditation should happen. And this should be understood by both men as well as women. Both men as well as women. What is the problem in women's life and what's the problem in men's life? Because it is addressing to Uddhava, Krishna is talking about women. If it was addressing to women, Krishna would be talking about men. That's all it is, the difference is. So there is no racial discrimination or anything or any other thing. That's what I'm saying. Then, Strinam, next verse. Strinam, Stri Sanginam, Sangam, Tetva Durada Almavan, Kshame Vivektam Asinam, Chindayenman, Atandridaham, Natadasya Bhavat Klesho, Vandaschanya Prasangadaha, Yoshil Sangad Yada Pumso, Yatha Atal Sangi Sangadaha. Two verses. In two verses, Krishna is telling us, Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tetva Durada Almavan. Remember this. Krishna is saying to us, If you are serious about spiritual life for a man, first thing is keep away from women. Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tektva, Gurada, Almavan. That important thing is Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam. That attachment to women, more than that, attachment to those people who are attached to women. They are more dangerous. And the opposite thing for the women. The other way also. Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tektva, Gurada, Almavan. Who is talking this? Who had 16,108 wives? And who had so many girlfriends when he was at Vrinda. He is saying this to us. So you can understand that when Krishna talks about sannyasam later, you will see in the Bhagavatam that Uddhava was asking about sannyasam to Krishna. And Krishna is talking about what is proper sannyasam. And Krishna says to Uddhava, Venubhir nabhaved yadi, you don't become a sannyasi by just taking the rod in the hand. Why? One day, Krishna also took sannyas. Venubhir nabhaved yadi, it says. Krishna says, just because you took Venu means the bamboo. Flute is Venu. That is made from bamboo. The sannyasi rod also is made from bamboo. So, just because you take the bamboo in the hand, you don't become a sannyasi, Krishna says there. Venubhir nabhaved yadi. In other words, Krishna is not interested in the externals. Krishna is not interested in the external thing. What is inside? What is your state of consciousness? That's what matters. So Krishna says here, Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tetva, Durada, Almavan. Almavan means one who wants to progress in the spiritual side of life. Tetva, Durada, Almavan. Throw it away, that association with the opposite. Srinam to women and Sri Sanginam, Sangam. And association with those who are attached to opposite, to the other side. That Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tetva, Durada, Almavan, Kshema, Vivikta, Vasinam, Chindayenman, Atandridaham. Then Kshinam, Vivikta, Vasinam. Krishna says there, that giving up that, you should stay quietly alone in some place and constantly think about me. Constantly think about me. That is Krishna's first instruction. And then he says, Na tathāse bhavat klesho vandaschānya prasangadāham. And he says, what a man or a woman for that matter, they don't have to suffer in this world. Na tathāse bhavat klesho vandaschānya prasangadā. They have to suffer, they are only suffering in this world only because of this attachment to the opposite sex. Opposites. For a man to the woman and a woman to the man. And this attachment is the whole problem for all misery in this world. Krishna says here, Na tatha se bhavat klesho. He won't suffer from anything else except as much as he will suffer from this. This will be the greatest misery that will bring. Na tatha se bhavat klesho vandas chanya prasangadaha yoshil sangad yadopam som yathatal sangi sangadaha. Krishna says, then, in the same way, yoshil sangadyado pumso yada talsangi sangada, you won't get as much misery from women as those who are attached to women. They give you more trouble. Not women won't give you so much trouble. He's talking to a man now. That's for you have to understand. Similarly, you have to see the other side also. If he is talking to women, he will say, don't, you can mix with women, but not with women who are always talking about men. That is the way it is. Yoshil yatha, yoshil sangadhyada pumso, yatha tal sangi sangadaha. That those who are attached to others and those who are talking about them, they are the most dangerous people. Because why? They will plant more ideas, more sense enjoyment into your mind in the form of vasanas. It will create them in there. That is why Krishna says here, that yatha tal sangi sangidaha. So, he says here, the one who are meditating on me, that this is the most powerful thing that takes away his attention from me. This attachment to that side. So because the kama vasana or bhoga vasana or sense enjoyment inside, that is the main reason behind the relationship between man and woman. in this world. And that is that attachment from man to woman and woman to the man. So wherever you look in this world, this is what you find, isn't it? This attachment between man and woman, television, cinema, everything is centered around that. So cinemas, as you know, this is the only topic they have got in all their film. They have produced this, nothing else. So they will always, as I mentioned before also, that when they make a movie, they look for a hero and they look for a heroine. And they will sign them for the movie, for the large, highest amount, isn't it, first? So the top stars, whether whoever it is, they will sign them, because once they sign, and centered around them, they will build everything, centered around them. The movie will be there. The majority of the movies, I'm saying, majority of them is on that principle, because they know this very well, that this attachment between man and woman is so strong that it is the biggest market for them to exploit. So if you produce a movie which is very much based on some spiritual idea principle, nobody will be there to watch that movie. Nobody will come. Whereas you release a movie which is centered around the love story of a man and a woman, there will be, the hall will be full always. Isn't it? Every past stories, whether it's in English or in any other languages you can take, it's all centered around this theme between man and woman. Between man and woman. That is why it says here. That's what I'm saying. That if you see some retired couple, old people, have you seen anybody making a movie centered around them? Not so far. That they have not done that. Because it's not interesting. Who is there to watch? Some old people, 80 years, 90 year old people. They are in love. Who is going to watch that? No. No, that's not good enough for them. So they will watch that movie, young, even old people, they want to watch the young people in love and their relationships, isn't it? So you can see this, all the movie business is centered around that. So old people also live in this world, don't they? They also have trouble in their life and pain. They also have love in this world. They have some rapport like that between, among the old people also. But that is not depicted any time in the movie. It's always this young people. Why is that? as I mentioned before, that the once old couple, they were on a Govardhana Parikrama. They were going around. They were very old. And while they were going, because of exhaustion, and she was getting very, very tired. And the old man goes out and says to her that, can I go and get something to drink? And you could see a genuine feeling for her in that old age also. But that is not given any importance. So such people exist also in this world. There is consideration for others. So what we are saying is that that when you see such scenes in this world, you can see there that this priyam or love, which is a natural thing coming from inside, that can happen at any stage in life, among children, in the grown-up, in the adults, all of them. But what we exploit there is that when we see between a young man and a young woman a relationship happening and their love, we give a lot of value to it. We give a lot of value to it. He has to be at least below 30 years old. That is the principle. After that, there is no love as far as the movie makers are concerned. So, anyway, so people who write the stories for the movies also, they will write it in that way to show to the public that it is like that. They have such a, whatever it may be, the original story will be like, these two things will be there, that the love between a young man and a woman, and then they are singing and dancing and running around the tree and all that, what they do, and the film they make centered around that. If you understand that properly, then Krishna is saying that is our biggest obstacle in spiritual life. Biggest obstacle in spiritual life. Why? Pumsastriyamai dhuni bhavamanyam tayor mido hridaya grandhi mahu ato griha kshetra sudapta vittir janasya mohoyam aham mameti. When Rishabhadev called his 100 children to talk, to instruct them on spiritual life, Rishabhadev's instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam is based on renunciation, vairagyam. That is the main thing. The main theme in spiritual life, what Rishabhadev considered important, is Vairagyam. So what he did was, he called his 100 children one day and instructed them on spiritual life before he left home. After that, he became an avadhuta and he left. Avadhuta means a very high state of sannyasam he took and he left. So before he left home, he called all of them, and it is the famous instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam which is centered around Vairagyam, renunciation. And there he says to his own children, starting from Bharata onwards. Bharata was the eldest. And it is because who Bharata ruled, Bharata Varsham name has come. Because Bharata ruled the path, it was called that Bharata Varsham, it was called. So what he told them was, Bharata was the eldest. They, out of 100 children, the eldest was Bharata. 9 of them became great yogis. Great yogeshwaras, yogis they had become, 9 of them. Whom you know, Kavi Hari, Andariksha Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Avyahotra, Dumilak, Chamasa, Karabhajana. 9 of them have become yogis. And 9 of them have become kings at different places, support helping Bharata in their administration. 81 of them became experts in the karmam, yajnam, sacrifices. That description is there in the Bhagavatam. So there, he is addressing all 100 of them. You have to remember, he is one of the great grihastha, isn't it? 100 children he had. He's not an ordinary man. And he is saying this. So in Bhagavatam, what you notice is, Krishna, who had 16,108 wives and so many friends in his youth, in the early life, knowing all those things, Krishna is saying to us this. Similarly, Rishabhadev, who had 100 wives, he is telling us these things. Pumsastriya maidhuni bhavamanyam tayor midohadaya grandimahu. The problem with this man-woman relationship is this. Rishabhadev says that in a very subtle level, without our knowledge, a relationship, an attachment or a bondage develops. And that bondage is called Hridaya Granthi. Hridaya Granthi means it's a gland or a bondage inside the heart between man and woman. Some attachment builds up inside. Once that attachment is built up, it is very difficult to break it. Very difficult to break it. Unless there is proper knowledge inside. Tayor mido hridaya granthi mahu. And it is based on that principle the whole world is running. The whole world is running based on that principle. Why? After that is built up, once the hridaya granthi, that connection, the bridge is built between the man and the woman, what will happen is, ato griha kshetra sutahatta vitter janasya mohoyamaham mameti. That griham, he wants a house. Kshetram, he wants land. In those days land was considered important. Ato griham kshetram sutam, children he wants. Then aptam, then he needs a society. In order to have all these things, he needs money with them. Ato griha kshetra sutatta vitter janasya. People, once they need all these things, janasya mohoyam, their illusion will increase day by day. And what will happen? This is all me and mine will come from that. So aham amedi, me and mine, increases in family life. Increases in family life. And because of that, Krishna is saying there, if you enter into householder life without proper knowledge, this will give you trouble later. To come, break away from everything and come out is very, very difficult. Most of us know that, how difficult it is to break up everything and come out of it. It's very, very difficult. That is why Krishna warning there itself, he told Bharata and the other 99 children, he says to them that keep this in the mind all the time. Pumsastriya maithuni bhav. That maithuni bhavam, if you build up, you will be in trouble. Maithuni, mithunam. Mithunam means couple. Maithuni bhavam means that relationship in that way. Relationship in that way. Maithuni bhav. So, pumsastriya maithuni bhavamanyam tayor mido hridaya granthi mahu. That hridaya granthi will come, and then afterwards it is very difficult. Ato griha kshetra sutha apta vitte janasya mohoy mahamamedi. You will need all these things. Griham, home, kshetram, land, sudam, children, aptam, friends and family. Family, everyone gets so absorbed in the family and friends and the society, isn't it? Sudapta vitte. And then, to keep all this going, you need money. If you have no money, you will have no problem in this world. Nobody will bother you, no relatives will come disturb you, no one visit you, they won't invite you for the marriages, they won't do any trouble. Even if they die, they won't let you know. That's how good they are. If you have the experience, some people have the experience, what it's like. Ato graha kshetra sudapta vitter janasya mohoyam aham amedi. Aham amedi, me and mine, is coming from that. And ultimately, that is what we are trying to get it off from this us inside, isn't it? Aham amedi, me and mine, has become very powerful inside, and that's the most difficult thing to give up. That's the most difficult thing to give up. That is why Krishna is saying here, because Rishabhadev was such a big grihastha, 100 children he had, and he's giving us this advice to us. And he has left all that and walked away from home one day. So, he's only telling us to remind us, he's not saying that don't get married or don't live in the married life, but he's pointing out to us, be aware of this one thing all the time. Because that can be the greatest problem in spiritual life. That could become the greatest problem in spiritual life. So, because in that assembly where he was talking to, many of them were grihasthas. Many of them were grihasthas. He was talking to them in that. Now, here, what is interesting here is, Krishna is saying also to Uddhava. Krishna's grihasthashramam is well known, isn't it? Krishna's grihasthashramam is well known. When he has married the 16,108 wives, Sri Narada Maharshi went to see how Krishna's householder life is. In every house, Krishna was a householder, proper householder. In the first house he went to was Rukmini Devi's house, the first one. Narada Maharshi went inside. There he saw Krishna and Rukmini Devi busy in the householder activity. Went to Satyabhama's house, Krishna was playing chess there with Satyabhama. Then he went to Jambavati's house. There Krishna saw something else. Krishna was looking after the children. Jambavati was not feeling very well. Krishna was looking after the children. Then Narada Maharshi went to another Mitravinda's house. There Krishna, Narada Maharshi saw something else. Satya saw something else. So 8 or 10 houses Sri Narada Maharshi went, and in all 10 houses Krishna was doing different things. So that chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam is called Garhasthya Darshanam. How to live householder life. Krishna was living Krishna's householder life. That's what it's called, Garhasthya Darshanam. And what is interesting in all that thing, Krishna was acting like a householder everywhere, but had no attachment anywhere in anything. No attachment in anything. Particularly when Krishna went, Narada Maharshi went to Satyabhama's house, when Narada Maharshi walked in, he has just come out of Rukmini Devi's house and walked into Satyabhama's house. There Krishna met Narada Maharshi. And here Krishna receives Narada Maharshi, because Krishna has expanded himself into 16,108 forms. And Narada Maharshi had enough there, and when he came back to Satyabhama's house, what he saw there was Krishna was playing this chess with Satyabhama. So as Krishna was going to lose the game, it seems, Satyabhama was winning. So actually Krishna was happy that Narada Maharshi had come, so that he didn't have to lose the game. What he did was, with the feet, he just kicked the whole chessboard, everything away. And he apologized to Narada Maharshi, saying to him, how fortunate I am that you had come, because we householders have this one problem. As soon as we get some time, our mind will go in the wrong direction. Now that you had come, you are going to remind us about spiritual life. Krishna is saying this to Narada Maharshi, that you had come in the right time to tell us about spiritual life. If you are not, Krishna is saying this to Narada Maharshi, that if you people like you, if you don't go and talk to householders, their mind is like this. As soon as they find some time, they will look for enjoyment together, husband and the wife. That's the most interesting thing. And saying that, you can see, he says to Narada Maharshi, you have seen now what we were doing here when you had come, that we were busy with this nonsense, chess. That's how Sri Narada Maharshi says this, about this in the Bhagavatam. So you can see that the garhastha, such a householder, is saying this to us. So we have to take it very seriously. Why Krishna is saying like that? So, and whom is he talking all these things to? A person who is retired long ago. Uddhava. Uddhava is 120 years old. And to him, Krishna is saying all these things. Srinam, Sri Sankinam, Sangam, Tekta, Gurada, Atmavan. So you may wonder, why Krishna is saying this to Uddhava, isn't it? Krishna is 125 and Uddhava is 123 or 24, or very close to each other by age. So such a person, so immediately you can understand the instruction is not for Uddhava, it's for us. It's for us. Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tektva Durada Atmavan, Kshema Vivikta Vasinam, Chindayinman, Atandridaha, Natathasya Bhava Viklesho, Vandaschanya Prasangadaha, Yoshil Sangadhyada Pumso, Yatha Tal Sangi Sangadaha. That Krishna says there that it is not that bad, even if you have to mix with women, man has to mix with women, it's not so bad. But worse is that to associate with those men who are always absorbed in talking about women. Talking about women. That is why it says like that. So, but if you notice here, another interesting thing. In Srimad Bhagavatam, about Sukadeva Goswami, nothing is mentioned about his family life. Have you noticed that? He's always, whether he is a brahmachari, nothing is mentioned about that. Some people in Bhagavatam, it is more or less said like this, that only thing what we have, that he was a liberated soul. That we know from the Bhagavatam. And it says that he was a liberated soul. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is spoken about Sukadeva Goswami as a liberated soul. And he was what we call as Atyashrami. Atyashrami means one who is beyond Varnam and Ashramam. He is finished with all that. Varnashram, Ashramam, everything is over for him. And the only statement is about him in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that Yasyanubhavam akhila shrutisaramekam adhyatmadivam adititirshadam tamandham samsarinam karunayaha purana mukhyam tam vyasasunu upayami gurum muninam. Sudha Goswami says this about Sudha Goswami. And in the words prior to that, he also mentions there that the yam pravrajandam anubedam apedakrityam dvaipayano virahagadarama juhava putreiridan maidayattaravobhinedu tam sarvabhudhadayam unimanatosmi. When Sudha introduced Sukadeva Goswami to us, this is the only thing he mentioned about him. That is very interesting in the Bhagavatam. It says here, tam sarvabhudhadayam unimanatosmi. That means he was present in everyone's heart. He could go into everyone's heart. And what else he said? That dvaipayano virahagadara ajuhava. That when Vedavyasa Maharshi called him back, he did not answer. Putra putra, when he called, taravodhinedu, that he would not answer back, tam sarvabhudhadayam unimanatosmi. He is present in everyone's heart. So to show that to us, all the trees and plants and creepers, they replied on his behalf. They asked, what do you want in that sense? He asked and answered back to Vedavyasa to show that he is in that state. So from here, you can see that there is nothing mentioned about Sudeva Goswami's family life or what he was in his previous life. If you look into Mahabharatam, Sudeva Goswami is a householder. That is probably news to many people. Sudeva Goswami is a householder in the Mahabharatam. So in Devi Bhagavatam, there is another book bigger than Srimad Bhagavatam, Devi Bhagavatam, related to Sri Parvati. In that Devi Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam and all, Sudeva Goswami comes in everything. And there is a story about Sudeva Goswami's life in those books. Devi Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam. It talks about householder life of Sudeva Goswami. It's mentioned there. So there, Because it was not related to spiritual side to that extent as much as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that householder life of Sudeva Goswami is discussed there, not in the Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam is not spoken. But in the Devi Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam, Sudeva Goswami had a wife, had children, everything is spoken like that there. So, when they wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not a history. The Vedavyas is only telling us what we need to know for our spiritual life. That is the way it is constructed. Bhagavatam is written there. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, nothing is spoken. Because here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has no connection with the body. He is no connection, attachment to the... That's why he says like that. Yasyane bhavam agirashvisaram egam adhyatmudiyam adhititirshanam samantham samsarinam samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunam. That he has this special karunim or mercy towards those who are suffering in this world due to the bodily identity attachment. Because of their his compassion for them, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. He says like that, isn't it? He says, yam pravrajantam anupetam apetakrityam doibhayano virahakadaram ajuhava putraididanmaya taravabinidu tam sarvabhudakadayam minim anatosmi. That's all mentioned about Sudeva Goswami. Sarvabhuta Kradayam. That means he can enter into everyone's heart and know what's going on everywhere. That is this. Only that aspect of Sudeva Goswami is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing else. Whereas in the Mahabharatam, as well as the Devi Bhagavatam, the householder life of Sudeva Goswami is spoken. There he is married and he had family, children and all that. So, only that thing what is important, what that is spoken here. So, because if we say all these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam to, if you say to householder all these things, sometimes householder will ask the question, you should not ask that question, so shall I get divorced now? Because you have told us that it is like this. That's not what it says. What it says here is that man and woman, husband and wife, whatever who are married and living a life, and it is not considered to be anymore a man-woman relationship after a period of time, because if it is based properly on religious principles, that they know it was something that karmam they had to finish through that body, and they have to prepare themselves for the next life. So that is not what Bhagavatam is advocating. Bhagavatam is not advocating divorce. What Bhagavatam is saying to us is that this trap is there in family life, and once that happens, and if you not give importance to Krishna consciousness and fall into that trap, then you could be in serious problem. Whereas if you understand that the relationship between the man and woman, tayor mido hrdaya grandhi, should not be built up in that, and if you take care of that, janas aham amedi will not happen. So, otherwise, if there is a proper relationship between a man and woman, it need not, after a while time, the attraction for the body goes away. It does not come anymore. It is only a question of tolerating each other and living a life in this world. So, otherwise what will happen? Every day there will be fight in one issue or the other. Something will happen. So, normally, those who are absorbed in the householder life, if it is possible, it is always good sometimes to stay away and live in solitude for some time. There is a statement also, isn't it, in English, it says, marriage is a circle into which the unmarried wants to get in and the married wants to get out. They talk about the marriage in that way, in a joking way. But that is what it means. So, it is not intention, it is not to find fault with the householder, because Krishna was a householder. And Sudeva Goswami was a householder in Mahabharatam, and Devi Bhagavatam was a householder. Rishabhadeva was a householder. Many, many devotees were householders. Not that it is condemned. What is condemned is that if you develop householder life like what they call as a grihamedhi, simply absorbed in the material comfort, so material enjoyment, then that householder is not acceptable. That's what Krishna is saying. That will lead into problem. So, whether you are a grihastha, householder or a brahmachari, in everyone's head, this concept is there. Which concept? That man wants woman, woman wants man. This concept, whether you are a brahmachari or a sannyasi or a grihastha, this concept is right there deep in the heart. It will be there. It won't go away. Forcefully you can keep it away, but it will not go away. It is so ingrained in us, this thought, in everyone, that it is very, because it started from first person, who? Swayambhuva Manu and Shadaruva. There it has started. So it's not something you can give it up easily, but it will be there. But the only way to counteract is what Krishna is saying here. Then such people, so, and wherever you look, that's all what you hear in this world, isn't it? And those people who are absorbed in that. So this is the type of topics that has entered into our, which is present in our head most of the time, these kind of topics. So for such people, when they start meditation, dhyanam, therefore Krishna is saying it should be done in solitude. In solitude. Because if you try to do meditation at home, naturally the thoughts of family will come in the mind. Something will come. It will be very difficult to keep it away. Very difficult to keep it away. So, so if our mind is absorbed in the thoughts of someone, even while engaged in meditation, these thoughts will come back. These thoughts will come back. Then all his meditation will be simply a show. Simply a show. So then all these people doing meditation, everything will be just to show to the public that I'm engaged in meditation. That is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna didn't say to Uddhava that go and stay in solitude. If you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after Uddhava was instructed everything, he was told to go to Badrinath. Isn't it? He went to Badrinath. And Krishna says to him, stay in solitude. Stay in solitude. So that Sangam attachment doesn't develop anywhere. That was the reason. Not to develop any attachment anywhere. This attachment is the most dangerous thing. So Krishna's point is that Uddhava, you go to Badrinath, stay there alone. He gave that specific instruction to stay alone. To stay alone. And he says to him, he didn't tell him that just don't give up, not only to give up attachment to anyone, any women. At the same time, more dangerous than that, he says to him, Sri Sanginam Sangam. Sri Sanginam Sangam. That talking about women and taking pleasure from that, men, their association. That's what Krishna is saying here. So women, he says there, that there are great, great women throughout the history who have lived such a noble life with really high standards in spiritual life. Their stories are never spoken in the newspaper or in the films or serials or anything. Their stories are never spoken. What's spoken is about those women who had married many times, or what has happened to them. And every day you can see newspapers, they are waiting for that news to get from celebrities news or something. So therefore, that is what Krishna is saying here. They are Vishayam. That is Vishayam. Topic is called Vishayam. That Vaishayikam it is called. It is like those topics which are discussed by men. People like to buy those newspapers, isn't it? How do they sell all these newspapers? Because this subject is discussed there. The sex life of so many people. It will be there in the first page onwards. It will go on like that. And everyone buys that. A lot of people buy them, isn't it? They sell somehow. And why? All the news in that is about this sex life of so many people. What has happened in their life. So, kshame vivikta masinam chindayanman atandrida. Krishna says there, isn't it? Kshema vivikta masinam. Kshema means that without any disturbing factor. Kshema means without any disturbing factor. Disturbing factor. Vivikta masinam means that to be situated in solitude. To be situated in the solitude. That is why Krishna says like that. in that word, kshemam, Sridhara Swami's commentary is nirbhaye dehe. He says, nirbhaye dehe. Wherever you stay, where you will not experience any fear, then if you experience any fear, then you cannot perform meditation, he says. You cannot perform any meditation. If you are feeling any fear inside, then you cannot perform any meditation. So, if you go to the, for example, when you go into the forest, and if you are sitting in the forest, if you have the fear all the time, the lion is going to come, or a snake is going to come, and then it is not possible to perform meditation. Sometimes you can see, not here so much, when places where there is a lot of snakes, even if a leaf moves or a plant moves, immediately if there is a snake moving around, that's how the thing will, mind will go up to that. Isn't it? That's natural it is. That's why, kshame vivittam asinam chindayanman atandrida. So, without any laziness, one should perform meditation. Atandrida means without any laziness. So, continuously meditate upon me, Krishna says. So, even while studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, do that in solitude. In solitude. And not associate with materialists. And in that way. And some people, they'll keep the television next and they'll study Srimad Bhagavatam and often they'll switch the television on. After that. So, similarly, just like Bhagavatam, while studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we should understand that it is to change our consciousness way of thinking. So, the greatest problem what we experience is that our mind does not get serious about it. We are not able to give enough attention to and reflect on the thoughts of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, Krishna is insisting that solitude is necessary. And therefore, if there is no place at home, we should go to the temple. And that is the ideal place for studying and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And for sadhana also you require solitude. Practically you can see that in order to have be effective, you can see yourself, if you chant in solitude, you will see the benefit a lot more than being in the association of many others. Chanting. Japam performed in solitude is much powerful than japam performed in the association of many other people. Even if others are chanting, still others' bodily movements, others' close vicinity towards you will have its effect on you. Your mind concentration will go from that. So, Krishna says here now, going to talk about dhyanam, meditation in the many verses. So, that is where he says here, that the na tadhasya bhavat klesho bandhaschani aprasangada yoshil sangadhyada pumso yatha talsangi sangada. Krishna says that na tadhasya bhavat klesho, it won't give you as much trouble, and that this problem, that again and again Krishna is repeating that you can see here that practically Krishna is making Uddhava a sannyasi here. Uddhava is giving him a sannyasa instructions here. So, first class devotees, when I say first class devotee means people who are performing sadhana on a very higher level, they are the first class devotee. Those devotees who perform their sadhana very well, that for them is this guidance. For them, all this guidance. That means first class devotee, they are always alert about their spiritual life, what's going to happen to them. They are conscious of every minute in their life, that they are very susceptible to the environment they live, the people whom they associate with, and also the food they eat, and generally they won't allow their mind to waver, to fall into situations where it will disturb their spiritual life. That is a first class devotee, because they know that if they allow the mind to get absorbed in things which does not help spiritual life, meditation becomes very difficult. Dhyanam becomes very difficult. One should not sit in a place for a man when he will think about another woman. He should not sit in that place. And similarly, that is the reason why we say hotel room, bedrooms, all these things, places are not meant for meditation. So therefore, generally a special facility, room, provided in the home, a temple room, inside the house, purely for spiritual life, purely for chanting the holy name or deity worship and things like that. So otherwise one should go to a solitude, place like solitude. All places which are in solitude are ideal for meditation, are ideal for meditation. So you can imagine in the past, in the long time ago, when before this movie industry and all developed, like the and tourism industry, before it was developed, all the river banks, forest, these places were ideal for people to go and perform their sadhana. That's where everybody went to. They went to river banks. They will bathe in the river and they will sit on the river bank and perform sadhana there. That was an ideal place for them. And similarly, forests also, where it is a lot of solitude they get and they perform sadhana there. Just to understand that in association with the nature, without being disturbed, you can see places where there is satugunam is predominant. As soon as you go there, the effect of that satugunam will be in you. All the bad thoughts will go away from inside and you will feel rejuvenated to engage in spiritual life. If you have gone there with a proper motive of chanting the holy name or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you can do that very well in that solitude, in that environment. So therefore, it was always like that. But what happened now with the advancement of this tourism industry and this movie industry, film industry, they need these places for shooting their films and for the tourists to come. And they realize that they can make money out of it. So it has all become completely polluted in that way. Everywhere you go now, if there is an opportunity, even maybe naturally beautiful and everything, but that solitude is missing there. Solitude is gone. It has become a center for tourist attraction or something like that. So what happens there is that when you go there to such places, that your mind naturally becomes peaceful and it will start slowly going inward looking, thinking about the soul. The place has got its effect on us, that it will immediately make us to become reflective in our nature, to think about the soul, the nature of this body, the nature of the soul, all these things. But constantly if you disturb that by external attractions, by providing external attractions, and it will bind us to the external world. It will bind us to the external world. So only thing we can do is to know, be conscious of all these things and not allow the mind to wander around. So Krishna spoke certain things here in that respect, and he mentioned certain things, and he says here that whatever that disturbs the mind, we should be alert. We should be alert before meditation is more important. Krishna says how the mind gets absorbed, that is more important. So what we have to give up or what we have to associate, that is not the main thing. Krishna's point is that meditation is the most important thing. Bhagavad Anusandhanam. Krishna is now slowly moving on to meditation in the next few verses. So, because in the verses Krishna has spoken, that does not mean that from tomorrow onwards, one house for my wife and one for me, separately we live because for my meditation purpose. That's not what this meant. Bhagavad Dhyanam or meditation of Krishna, one has to acquire that nature of absorption in Krishna. And one should be able to, Krishna says, step by step, able to be focused on Krishna. Be focused on Krishna and able to stand on Krishna. So Uddhava is asking that question in the next two verses. If you look in the Bhagavatam, you will see. Uddhava vacham yadha tvam aravindaksha yadrisham vayadalmagam dhyayen mumuchure danme dhyanam mam vaktum arhasi. Krishna says, Uddhava says, yadha tvam aravindaksha yadrisham vayadalmagam dhyayen mumuchure danme dhyanam tam vaktum arhasi. He says to him that how do I meditate? He says here, give me an understanding how to perform meditation. How should I meditate? And in what form should I meditate you? And that Krishna is now going to talk to Uddhava about that basic meditation class. That is what is from now on, several verses. You will see from now, practically to the end of this chapter, is that meditation process Krishna is going to talk to Uddhava. So, we saw the sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyana Yoga, isn't it? We saw that. And then Krishna says here that Uddhava, first thing, this dhyanam is necessary for advancing, understanding, because Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, isn't it? Krishna spoke the jnana margam first. Prior to that, Krishna spoke about karma. If you look into the 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about karma. Then Krishna spoke about, also he spoke about jnanam in the 13th chapter. But prior to that, Krishna spoke about satsangam in the 12th chapter. Isn't it? In the 12th chapter. 13th chapter, Krishna spoke about jnanam, pure spiritual knowledge. In the 14th chapter, Krishna spoke about bhakti in this chapter. Till now, Krishna spoke about bhakti. And through bhakti, Krishna says one should purify oneself first. And then at that particular, Krishna spoke very strongly about bhakti process, much stronger than any other process. The first chapter in the 10th chapter, when Krishna started the instruction, Mayadideva Shavahidam, that verse there, what Krishna is saying there is that the way for self-realization is possible in this world, provided you follow this process. And he presented that process of self-realization through a spiritual master, a disciple relationship. And how a proper spiritual master with the proper qualifications, what Krishna has spoken, plus a disciple with the proper qualification, when they come into contact with each other, how automatically the knowledge, spiritual realization will be transmitted from the spiritual master to the disciple. That is what was discussed in that chapter. As I mentioned yesterday, that the difference between a subject that is taught in the university and spiritual transmission, there is a big difference. In the university, the teacher knows the subject. The teacher knows the subject. Say mathematics or physics or chemistry, whatever it may be. The student, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the subject. So the teacher knows his knowledge, the student does not know that he knows. So he teaches everything to the student and student learn things. Student learn things, isn't it? Student learn the things from the teacher. When he learned the things from the teacher, it can happen that the student will be as good as the teacher and even sometimes could be better in that way. Can be better. But at that time, the mood of a teacher and the mood of the student, if you look, you can see, the teacher's mood is, I know the thing, I am knowledgeable, he is ignorant. He is ignorant. Student also accept that. I am ignorant, the teacher is saying, I am knowledgeable, I am teaching him. Based on the mind and the intelligence, that is the tool with which it is taught. Intelligence and the mind, that's what's working there. And the person who is receiving it, the student, is also using his mind and intelligence and receiving it. Isn't it? He's also using his mind and intelligence, is receiving it. That is in the university. When we come to spiritual life, it is different. What is the difference? Difference is this. If the spiritual master is self-realized, if he is self-realized, he will not see the student as ignorant. He cannot. If he is seeing the student as ignorant, that means, or thinking himself as the guru, then he is not a guru. That is how spiritual life is. Because what happens, how does this transmission of realization happens in spiritual life? This is a very important aspect of spiritual life. We are thinking like, because we came from the material life, and there we went to university, we studied books, we studied and we followed a process. We are bringing that process into our spiritual life and it fails, it won't work. And this is the biggest problem many people are facing in spiritual life. They don't understand this one point, that in spiritual life, the transmission of that realization of the spiritual master to the disciple is not like the way it's happening in the university. It's not that it's happening in university. What's happening in spiritual life is, if the spiritual master is a self-realized soul who understands that the other person is also a spirit soul, and the transmission is between from the soul to the other soul. It is not on the mental level, it's not on the intellectual level. It is purely from the spiritual level the transmission happens. To teach us that one point, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, what did Krishna say? Janmadhyasayadunvaya itaradas charteshu abhijyaswarad tene brahma hridaya. One hridayam to the other hridayam, the knowledge was given. It was not given like from one mind to another mind, or one intelligence to another intelligence. There itself, from the very beginning of Bhagavatam, this point is very powerfully mentioned there. If you take that into account, then you would have nothing to regret about when you don't realize things. Because that if the transmission has not happened properly, it's not going to be effective at all. What happens to us is, we hear something and then we keep on pondering over this, thinking, why, what is that? I have not understood that properly. So it is not meant for understanding, basically. Spiritual realization is not meant for understanding. Many, many people have this problem. They're trying to understand things. It's not for understanding, it is for realization. So therefore it is said, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyandiyat Suraya. That Brahma, who first time the transmission was from heart to heart. We have to ask this question, isn't it? Why from heart to heart? Krishna could have spoken to him. Krishna knows the language well. Brahma also understands the language. So he could have spoken to him. No, it was transmitted. Spiritual transmission, it is, happened from Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. This is in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And he says there at the end, what did he say? Tejovarimritam yadhavinimahi yatra trisargavamashad dhamnasvena sada nirastakohagam satyambaram dhimahi. That param satyam, I worship that. That's what he's saying, isn't it? That param satyam means the absolute truth, I'm worshipping that. After saying whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very end, again the same thing is spoken. You can notice that. Kasmayena vibhasidoyamadulo jnana pradipa puraha. This jnanam, he says, not bhakti, jnanam it is spoken, knowledge. Jnana pradipa pura tadrubena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubinam. The process of Srimad Bhagavatam, transmission of the self-realization, is always from heart to heart, not from mind to mind or intelligence to intelligence. If you understand that principle, then you will know, if a transmission has not happened, either from the speaker it has not come properly, because he has not realized it himself, or the person who has received it, he is also not ready for receiving it. That's all it is, nothing more than that. So that is why many times we hear a lot about all these things and we still think, why nothing has happened? Nothing has happened because why? The person who has spoken was not realized. What not? Self-realized. Nor the person who was listening was ready for receiving the message either. So these things will happen. Kasmayena vibhasidoya madulo jnana pradipa pura. This spiritual knowledge is always like that. Tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvinam. So Krishna sat in the Brahma's heart, received the message. Sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna spoke. Isn't it? And sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard. So Krishna is speaking, Krishna is hearing. That is how Bhagavata Dharma, Bhagavatam flow like that. The flow of Bhagavatam is like that. And Krishna, sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna spoke. And sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard. Sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, Krishna spoke. Sitting in Sudeva Goswami's heart, Krishna heard. Sitting in Sudeva Goswami's heart, Krishna spoke. And sitting in Parikshit's heart, Krishna heard. And Bhagavatam finishes is there. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the last link, isn't it? You can see, up to that, Bhagavatam has spoken. Bhagavatam has been spoken. So this is the only way this spiritual realization will flow. There is no other way. With our intelligence, brain and all that, if you try to capture, you won't get it. If you think, I'll take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading, and I'll understand, I'll become self-realized, it won't happen. It is not possible. Because this is the process is like this, it is defined in the Bhagavatam in that way. So, till that time, till you get that opportunity to see a personality like that, who has reached that stage, we have to continue accepting our limitations, what we have got with us, and study Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. So, let us look at that Dhyana Yogam, what Krishna is going to talk about it now. He says here, so first verse, Samahasanam Asinam Samagayo Yatha Sukham Hastavul Sangamadaya Swasagrakrade Kshanaham Pranasya Shodhayen Margam Purakum Bhagare Chagehi Vibareyana Vishane Abhyase Narjidendriyaham Kudivichinamongaram Gandhanam Visor Navad Prani Pranino Diriyatada Puna Sambeshaye Swaram Evam Pranavasam Yuktam Pranameva Samabhyase Yashakrtvastrivshavanam Masadarvajjita Nilaham Hrilpundarigamandasam Urdhanalamadhomukham Dhyathodhurdhamukham Munnidram Ashtavatram Sakarnigam Karnigayam Nyasel Suryam Somagni Uttaryottaram Vanyimadhye Smarel Dhruvam Amaida Dhyanamangalam Samam Prashantam Sumukham Dhirgachari Chaturbhujam Sucharasundaragrivam Sukabolam Shuchismidam Samanakarna Vinyastam Suranmagarakundalam Hemambaram Ghanashyamam Shrivalsa Shri Nigetanam Shankachakragadabhatmam Vanamala Vibhushidam Subhirairvilasalpadam Kaustubha Prabhayayudam Dhumalkiridakadagam Kadisutrangadayudam Sarvangasundaram Hridyam Prasadasubhukhekshanam Sukumaram Abhidyayel Sarvangeshumanyodhadal Indriyan Indriyathebhyo Manasakrishyadanmana Buddhyasarathina Dhira Pranayenmai Sarvadaham Tal Sarvavyavakam Chittam Akrishyayatradharayen Nanyani Chindayet Bhoya Susmitam Bhavayen Mukham Tatra Labdhapadam Chittam Akrishyavyom Nidharayen Tachatyektuamadaraho Nakinchitabichindayen Evam Samahkudamadir Mamevalpanam Altmani Vijishtayamai Sarvatman Jodir Jodishisam Yudam Dhyanenetham sudivrena yunjado yogino manaha samyasyatyashanurvanam dravyajnanakriyabhramaha. So you can see from this verse 32 to 46, this 14 verses is all about meditation, dhyanam, isn't it? What we have discussed in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is now presenting in this 14 verses. To Uddhava. Krishna is talking to Uddhava in these 14 verses. So he's saying here that what form one should meditate upon. That is the important thing. Sagunam Sagaram it is called. Saguna Sagaram. Saguna Sagaram means all attributes of Krishna. Krishna's beauty, Krishna's form in a particular way that is discussed in these verses. That, and that most attractive form of Krishna, what one should meditate upon. And how to fix the mind on that form, and little by little, that all this language now in this verse is quite technical. Technical means it's very much based around the one who has studied Dhyana Yogam or practice Dhyana Yogam will be easier. But here Krishna is saying here that the little by little the mind should become Vikalpa Shunyam. Vikalpa Shunyam means all thoughts should go away from inside the mind. In other words, before performing Dhyanam, one should be able to keep the mind free from thoughts. If the thoughts are there, then Dhyanam is not possible. Thoughts are considered to be vikalpam. So vikalpa shunyam, freedom from vikalpam. All thoughts are away. Mind is so peaceful inside. Then in that state one can perform meditation. People do meditation to become peaceful now. But actually it's the other way. You have to become peaceful first to become meditate, to get into meditation. That is how it works. Not that people saying, that they, if you look at the advertisements now, they'll say, that this meditation process is so good, you'll become peaceful. But actually, meditation is to be performed after becoming peaceful. Not you perform meditation to become peaceful. That's not the idea behind it. So that's what Krishna is saying there in the first verses, that there is a thing called Chidakasham. This is a word what is used in relationship with the meditation, Chidakasham. Chidakasham means the chit inside, chit shakti inside, which is coming from the soul, isn't it? Soul is present inside, which is considered to be on this side, not here. This is the heart, or doctor's heart, medical heart. This side is the heart for the spiritualist. It is here that the soul is present, soul's presence is, and that is where all the meditation is performed. So there, in that Chidakasham, the sky around that, it's a cave, that is what guha, or cave it is mentioned. That is where this Chidakasham is present. And in that Chidakasham, that Chidakasham, first thing to start with is, although the presence of Krishna is meditated upon, first thing to start with is that Chidakasham, the presence of that space inside, being conscious of that, and meditation on that space, which is a very difficult thing to do. So he says here, Vyomni Dharayen Kramena Tachat Tektva. So it begins with that meditation, then he says, Na Kinchit Abhi Chindayet. If you look at there, he'll say there, Na Kinchit Abhi Chindayet, he says. In other words, that without allowing any Chittavritti to come inside, to stay, that practice of that, without allowing any Chittavritti to come inside. If you look, he says there, Na Kinchit Abhi Chindayet. Sama asanam asinam samakayo yatha sukham hasta ulsangam adhayam sansunasagra kridekshana pranasya shodhayen margam. In the verse 44, if you look, you will see there, tachya tektva mada araho na kinchid abhi chindayet. When you get to that state, finally, after you have performed, we'll come to the meditation later. After performing the meditation, when everything is finished, meditation is over, then ultimately the form what you are meditating, that will also disappear. The form you meditate, that will disappear at the end. Form won't stay. And then what will remain is this Chidakasham, that sky. I know it's very abstract when we talk all these things, because none of us are practicing it, and it is difficult to explain that also but whatever limited way we can discuss it, we'll talk about that. So Krishna says here, Techa tektva madaroho na kinchit abhi chindayet. When you get to that stage, after meditation is performed, when the Chidakasham manifests inside, no thoughts will come anymore into it. It will be in that state. It will be in that state. Na kinchit abhi chindayet. So, that is the state, that means, able to stay in one's, in a state without allowing any thought to come inside. That is perfection of meditation. That you are able to stay without allowing any thoughts to come in. Imagine that state. We know how much our mind control we have, isn't it? Whether we want to, nobody asks us before the thought comes, it just comes. You have no control over it, isn't it? It just comes. And it goes also in the same way. Another thought comes and it goes. Continuously this is going on day after day after day, isn't it? So that's why Krishna says here that through various steps Krishna has spoken, one has to reach that state, he said. So in that state, mind which has been absorbed in so many different things, he requires something more attractive, very, very attractive to get that attraction. So that is the reason, first thing, Krishna's beautiful form is spoken before that. So if you see, mind has one important aspect, if you look. Suppose I see something beautiful in this world, something nice to look at, my mind will go and stay there. And it will only leave that place if I find something more beautiful somewhere else. So because the mind, nature of the mind is like that, in meditation what they say, that they present a form of Krishna which is most attractive. And that is what is discussed in many verses, you will see. It is spoken about that. Because whenever there is beauty, wherever there is beauty, mind, without asking you, without any question, it will go there. In a natural way, it will go there and will start enjoying that beauty. And will start enjoying that beauty. So, so therefore, first thing is given, the most beautiful thing in the creation, which is Krishna's beauty, is discussed there for meditation. For meditation. You may think that, oh, he's not that attractive. Krishna is not that attractive. But that is because of the lower modes of nature in us. That is why we are not feeling that attraction. By the time we come to the meditation stage, one is supposed to be very much in the mood of goodness. Only in the mood of goodness you will feel that attraction for Krishna's beautiful form. So, the first thing Krishna says here, the yoga sadhana, what yoga system one should follow, that is what is discussed here. First Krishna says there that one has to sit somewhere steady, sthira asanam asinam. In the Bhagavad Gita also, here also Krishna says there, isn't it? Sama asanam asinam. Sama asana asinam. He says here, sama asana asinam. That means, you should sit in such a way that you should not feel necessary to move from there. Able to sit in one place, steady. And what else he says here? Sukham asinam. It should be comfortable. That is most important. You should feel comfortable that you don't have to move all the time from there. And keep both the hands in the lap. And Krishna says, you must have heard this, that looking at the tip of the nose. Looking at the tip of the nose. So, actually what it means is not that. People are always this misunderstanding that I have to look at the tip of the nose. If you keep looking at the tip of the nose, that's what you will see. Always you look at the tip of the nose. The reason why it is said like that is that you have to still meditate on the form of Krishna. Nadi uchishtam nati neecham. He says there, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, I think it is mentioned. Nati uchishtam nati neecham. So, Krishna says here that kambhalavo samakayam asinam. So, there are different asanams spoken in the yoga system. They are not rejected. But what is that is most comfortable, that is what one should take into account. Whatever position he is feeling comfortable, he should do that and perform meditation on that. So here, when we say that the on the tip of the nose means, what it means is that to focus on some point, but what it really trying to say is not on to tip on the focus the tip of the nose, but focus on Krishna, but at the same time it should be full concentration. Just like you will focus on the tip of the nose. That's what he's saying here. So, the goal is, Krishna says here, that andar bahir drishti, abahir drishtihi. Abahir drishti means our drishti which goes outside into the world, how to turn that back inwards. That is the goal. So, abahir drishtihi, the goal is inside, isn't it? Why? Krishna is inside us, not outside. Krishna is inside. So, when we think in that way, that naturally also, if our vision is on that form, even if we keep our eyes open, some people self-realized souls, that's how they are. They are looking into this world, but they are not seeing anything. They are seeing Krishna inside. But their eyes are open. That is the state of a yogi. The yogis who have reached that state, many, many jnanis also are like that. They'll be looking to the world, but they are not seeing anything in this world. They are seeing inside, not outside. They are not seeing outside anymore. They are only seeing inside. What is inside? So, so, andar lakshaha abahar drishtihi, sthiramit chittaha samyamahi. So, situated in that way, bringing the mind to bring to that stage, what Krishna recommends there is pranayama. Pranayama can help for that. So, that pranayama is spoken here. Krishna says, to do that, pranasya shodhayan margam pura kumbhaka rechagai. Probably you all know these things. പൂരകം കുംഭകം രേചകം ത്രീ തിങ്സ് ഫോർ പ്രാണായാമം പ്രാണായാമം യു ടേക്ക് ദി എയർ ത്രൂ വൺ നോസ്ട്രിൽ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പൂരകം ആൻഡ് യു കൗണ്ട് ഹൗ മെനി സെക്കൻഡ്സ് ഓ നമ്പേഴ്സ് യു ക്യാൻ കൗണ്ട് ആൻഡ് പ്രാക്ടീസ് എ ആൻഡ് ഹോൾഡ് ഇറ്റ് ദ എയർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് കുംഭകം ലീവ് ദി എയർ ത്രൂ ദി അതർ നോസ്ട്രിൽ ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് രേചകം പൂരകം ഹോൾഡിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഡ്രോപ്പ് ലീവിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് ത്രൂ ദി അതർ നോസ്ട്രിൽ ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് രേചകം പൂരകം കുംഭകം രേചകം സോ ദിസ് പ്രാണായാമം ദ പർപ്പസ് ഓഫ് പ്രാണായാമം ഈസ് ടു ബ്രിങ് ദി കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ദ ബോഡി ഓർ ദ ബോഡി ആൻഡ് ദി മൈൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഹെൽപ്സ് ദോസ് ഹു ആർ പ്രാക്ടീസിംഗ് പ്രാണായാമം സീരിയസ്ലി ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി ഹെൽപ്ഫുൾ ഫോർ കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദ ബോഡി സോ ദാറ്റ് ദ തോട്ട്സ് ഡോണ്ട് കം ഫ്രീലി ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് വേ അൺകൺട്രോൾഡ് മൈൻഡ് പ്രാണായാമം ഈസ് ദ സൊല്യൂഷൻ പ്രാണായാമം ബട്ട് ദ പ്രോബ്ലം വിത്ത് പ്രാണായാമം ഈസ് If it's not done under the guidance of a person who knows that science well, we can get into problems. We can get into problems. That is the most important thing. That's why pranasya shodhayen margam pura kumbhaka rejagai viparyayana abhishanai abhyase nirjitendriyaha. Krishna says here that there are easier process also. Pratyaksha pranayamam, pratyakshana Pratyakshana pranayamam, they call it. Even if you can't perform pranayamam, a simple process is just to give attention how the prana is flowing in the body. How the prana is flowing in the body. Then also, you know, there is pancha pranam. Pranam, apanam, vyanam, udanam, samanam. These five different kinds of air is circulating in the body. They are one, but depending on the place where they are circulating and their function, they are called under different names. Pranopana, Samana, Udana, Vyana. Five of them. So these five different air inside the body, they should flow freely and without any hindrance and in a balanced way inside the body. That is conducive for for yoga. When the prana flow is not proper, that's when we get sick. When we get sick. For example, some part in the body, when it starts decaying, you can say it the yoga, from the yoga point of view, that the flow of prana is not proper in that area of the body. That's how the yoga side defines that. So, prana, so that is why that is why this pranayamam is an important thing in the dhyanam process. In the dhyanam process. I know when we read all these things, we find we can't do it. Simple. It is difficult. It is difficult. Few people have practiced it, but the depending on how serious we are in spiritual life, all these things can be accommodated. How much time you can devote for spiritual life. So there the difficulty is that pranayamam is a very scientific process. So these five kinds of air in the body, their flow, regulation of them, is controlled by this pranayamam process. You can see that pranayamam alone has created a huge audience for Swami Ramdev, isn't it? He has such a big audience based on only this pranayama he has created. So powerful that is, this pranayama. And pranayama is practiced by everyone, whether in the jnana margam, yoga margam, and bhakti margam also. People practice pranayama. And in deity worship, pranayama is an important role it has. In the sense that those who are performing deity worship, they perform pranayama in order to have the finer control of the mind and the body so that they go into the deity room in pure consciousness and they can execute the pranayama properly. And there is a detailed explanation of about all these things in various books about pranayama, how to execute pranayama. But for us now, it's only an academic interest in the sense that I know it's not going to happen in our stage in life now. To start pranayama and to make it happen, we can't even sit properly in one place for an hour. and we are the people who are going to start pranayama. That may not happen. But that doesn't matter, because as I said yesterday, that there is this problem. One thing is, jnanis who realize the importance of spiritual life, they go inward straight away looking. They can come out of material life very easily. They can go away from material life and get serious about spiritual life for them. For others, people like us, we will have to go through a lot of misery in this world before our attention becomes serious about the soul. So what is normally happening is, we are in a situation, we are unable to go inward looking, unable to do it because of our present state of the body and the mind and the karma vasana inside, prarabdham, everything. So therefore Krishna recommended to us the process of bhakti, isn't it? Bhakti process, because of that. But bhakti also is not happening in the proper way. Even bhakti is concerned, the bhakti what Krishna has spoken about is not easy. That also, lot of Krishna has qualified that, saying so many things. What is bhakti means, isn't it? So there, the difficulty is that our attention is always in the world outside, all the time absorbed in the world outside, and the mind is not going inward looking, nor the senses either. And outside the life is concerned, it's also misery in every way. So that is why Krishna says there that if it happens in life to such an extent that the only option what is left is to cry to Krishna, to that all this knowledge what you have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, I am not able to get it. I can't have it because I just don't have that. For that purpose, you can ask Krishna that. That is allowed. Instead of asking other things in this world to give you money or give you a happy family life or home or whatever, that is not allowed. But this one thing, that I am helpless in this world, whatever knowledge you have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or Ekadasha Skandam, if I cannot I cannot get it, I am unable to do it, this is my situation, saying that, you can cry to Krishna. That is very much genuine and accepted by Krishna. And if we sincerely do that, as I mentioned yesterday in detail, that crying is not a shameful thing. We people think like that, if somebody is crying, it's a wrong thing. But no, ultimately we all came to this world crying, isn't it? Can anyone say that I didn't cry when I was born? Who can say that? Right from President Obama to right up to the lowest person in this world, everyone has come in the same way. They have all cried when they came. And when we were born, as soon as we have come from the mother's womb, we didn't know anything what was going to happen, isn't it? All we did was we just cried. When we cried, we didn't know that help was going to come from somewhere, was it? We didn't know anything. We didn't know that Krishna was there, I am crying to Krishna for help. Even we didn't know that. And we cried not thinking that some help will come from somewhere, but we just cried in helpless state, isn't it? Completely helpless we were at that time. That means we were in total surrender at that time. Totally surrendered mood, we cried for Krishna at that point. And help came, isn't it? Most all of us, help has come, otherwise we won't be sitting here today. Help has come. So, two, three things there. First thing, we didn't know there was a source who is going to give us help. We cried at that time. We also didn't know that if I cry, there is going to be a solution. We didn't know about that, but still we cried. We didn't know anything else. We knew nothing actually what is going to happen, but still we cried and the help came. It is much later that we came to know that the help has come from father, mother, or through other agencies. But that is much later, after our intelligence has developed. We didn't know that we had a father and mother even at that time when we were born. We didn't know that we had a father, we had a mother. Nothing was there. It is in this helpless state that we have come to this world. So when we were so helpless, what did we do? We cried, isn't it? That time, we didn't feel any shame. We didn't feel any shame at crying at that time. But now we feel shame. Oh, why should I cry? If I have to cry, I don't want bhakti. They'll say like that, isn't it? But the fact is that in reality, we are meant to cry. We are not meant to laugh. We are meant to cry. We cried then, and a similar, very much similar situation will happen at the time of death also. Exactly similar situation. All this, our vanity, pride, shame, all these things will go. They are there because the body is there. That's why you feel all this. Because the body is there, the vanity inside, pride inside won't allow us to accept somebody's authority very easily. But in two instances, at the time of birth and the time of death, Krishna is teaching us, this is your position in this world. You come here crying, you leave this world crying. Can you imagine at the time of death, when you are so ill, but the soul hasn't left the body, life is still there, lying in that hospital bed, people coming to see you. Now you feel ashamed, we need the clothes to cover our body. Or somebody comes, we need to present ourselves properly in front of them, isn't it? We feel or we should be presentable to them. All these feelings we have now in a very hidden form inside, and we take very serious notice of it. But at the time of death, maybe if you have to leave the body in 3 days or 4 days' time, it is very fast approaching, we are very, very ill, and any moment you can go from here. When that state comes, would you be concerned about your dress or the suit or the tie what you are wearing at that time? There will be no consideration of any of those things. Whether man is coming, women are coming, who is passing through, all those consideration goes away from there. Why is that? Because at that point you realize this thing, your helplessness, how helpless we are. Krishna's point is, if you are conscious of all these things while living in this world, you should have no fear in asking Krishna for help. You should have no hesitation. So sometimes devotees also get this misunderstanding, oh, I should not ask anything from Krishna because then I am a pure devotee. No, that is not pure devotee. Pure devotee state is surrendered state. That is pure devotee. Pure devotee is not one who is not asking anything from Krishna. When we say that, nirabheksham, that word Krishna is using in the Bhagavadam, that pure devotee means not that one who is not asking anything from Krishna, one who is always surrendered to Krishna and realizing his own position in this world, like the time when he took birth in this world and while he is leaving this world at the time of death. That is the devotee's position. That is what is more important. So this is the one option what is left for us, all of us, practically all of us. That Krishna's point is this, that many, many times when we have asked this question to people who are advanced in spiritual life, long gone, very high, and when we have told this problem to them, that we are not getting anywhere in spiritual life, the answer given was this. This was the answer given. They didn't tell us that go and practice yoga or go and perform any other yoga system. It is not possible. Simply not possible. It's not going to happen at this stage in life. And the style of life, we have everything. But this one thing, they say, if you are not making headway, success in spiritual life, the only thing you can do, continuously asking Krishna for that, crying, asking for that. And then there is a thing called, what is that is called as mercy, kripa. Krishna's mercy will start flowing. If you become that surrendered, and if you are begging for that, mercy will come from Krishna. This is because all those who have realized, self-realized, ultimately, none of them said they have got it by their effort. That is important thing. Every single one of them have said, I've got it out of Krishna's mercy. This is what they have said. Even they who have realized the truth, this was the answer they have given at the end, because they knew very well it is not possible to get it by your own effort. So if we recognize that in spiritual life as the first step, then spiritual life becomes very easier. Otherwise, what happens is all the time you are thinking about your own plans, your own effort, your own commitment and your own success and your own failure. You are evaluating all the time yourself, judging that you are the doer, you are the controller, you are behind everything. But that understanding and attitude in life must go from inside. What we have to come to this understanding that I am helpless. I can only do so much. This is how I come to this world and that was my situation. If you just remember that day one when we came to this world, although you can't remember now, but you can imagine yourself what was that state when we came to this world. And what will be the state when we leave this world? If you remember that and maintain that state inside, then you can immediately understand that there is a higher controller. Because some people will say, oh, you should cry in front of Krishna. They'll say, I don't know Krishna, I have not seen him so far. How will I cry? They'll say. They'll ask this question. When you were a baby, when you were born the first day, did you know Krishna? But still you cried. How did you cry at that time? You were able to cry, wasn't it? Because when distress comes very powerful in life, that is the only option Krishna has given us, to cry and to surrender and to become submissive to Krishna. And when that submission and surrender becomes very deep and very genuine, naturally the mercy comes from Krishna. That is what is called Chitta Shuddhi inside. Chitta Shuddhi is that purified state of mind, freedom. So crying never thinks any time that crying is a very inferior thing in spiritual life. That many majority of the people are thinking that they will do a lot of big projects in this world and they will become realize the self. It will never happen. Krishna has got much better project managers than what we have got in this world. He can do that. He doesn't need us for managing his projects. But bhakti is surrender. This is what I'm saying. Bhakti is nothing but surrender. Bhakti is not all the sadhana what we do. We misunderstand all these things. That sadhana is there only to bring us to this platform of surrender. That is why sadhana is. So therefore, sadhana becomes, it takes a second place in front of kriba, Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy takes the first place. So surrender, that's the only thing Srimad Bhagavatam has got to say to us. That's the first thing Bhagavatam is telling us. So here you will see, yaddalya bheda dattattava samupakritam devadasosmi. Melpatur said to Krishna, Yad-yal-yabhedat-tattava-samupakhridam devadasosmideham tuggeho-nmarjanadhyam bhavadumamahu karma-nurmayam-evam. Then he says to Krishna, it is like this, Yad-yal-yabhedat-tattava-samupakhridam devadasosmi. He says to Krishna, in my life in this world, whatever that comes to me, let me give it back to you. Whatever that has come to me, let me give that to you. Please make my mind in such a way not to keep anything for me, but it should be yours. That's the first recognition of a devotee. Yadyalya bhedatta tava samupakritam deva dasosmi deham. I am your servant. Servant means servant cannot have anything. Everything is master's, isn't it? That is as dasosmi. Dasam means servant. In all Vaishnava traditions, particularly in Ramanujacharya's tradition, this dasa bhavam is very strong. Very, very strong. That is the beginning of bhakti. Dakyeva daso asmi deham tuggehon marjana adhyam bhavaduma mamahu karma nurmayam evam. Mama tuggehon marjana adhyam karma muhu nurmayam eva bhavadu. That if I have to do anything in this world, let it be only for in your service. In your service. Tvad geho marjanadhyam bhavadumamahu karma nurmayame vaha. That everything should be for Krishna. Everything should be for Krishna. Suryagnir brahmanal padishulasita chadurbahum aradhaye tvam tul premardratvatvarubam mama sadadam abhishyandadam bhakti yoga. Now it says here, Suryagnir Brahmana Alpa Adishulasita Chadurbahum. Surya is sun, fire, Brahmana, the soul. In all these things, Krishna is present in the four-handed form. Surya, Agni, fire, Brahmana and the soul. There Krishna is meditated upon in the four-handed form. In the four-handed form. And Mattu Premardra Twarubam Mama Sadadam Abhishyandadam Bhakti Yoga. And if my attention falls on that and my meditation is on that form of Krishna, in that way, it will develop into bhakti. If any meditation happens in that way, let it develop in that way and that will develop bhakti inside. Aikyande dana homam vradaniyamanava sankhya yogair durabam. He says here, Aikyande dana homam vradaniyamanava sankhya yogair durabam. From dhanam, homam, vratam, niyamam, tapas, sankhyam. So many things. These are different things what one performs in this world. Dhanam means charity. Homam means sacrifices, fire sacrifices. Vratam means austerities. Niyamam, yamaniyamam, which is following the rules and regulations of that. Tapas sankhya yogair durabam. Austerities, severe austerities is tapas. Sanghi Yoga is jnanam, knowledge, process of knowledge. All of them are difficult. All of them are very, very difficult. But then, Tul Sanghi Neva Gopyam Gila Supraditamam Prapu Ananda Sandram. So, Mepatur says to Krishna that Gopis and Vrindavanam, what did they do? They didn't do any of these things. They got everything by simply your association, isn't it? Gopis got that stage by simply association with Krishna. That is how their bhakti developed. Bhakteshu anyeshu bhuyasvibhu manushe bhaktimeva tvamasam. Then, as far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna keeps Gopis' devotion on a very higher platform. Why is that? Why Krishna considers Gopis' bhakti a special bhakti? Because Krishna feels that Gopi has mastered that bhakti process very well. In the sense, without going through shastram, studying any shastram, practicing any yoga system, and they never had practically much of a austerities or penances. Simply through satsangam and association, they came to perfection. Gopis came to perfection. Association, when we talk about, it is Krishna's association. Gopis had Krishna's association. Why did they get Krishna's association? Because they were qualified for that. So they got Krishna's association. Bhakteshu anyeshu bhuyasva vibhu manushe bhaktimeva tvamasam tanyetol bhaktimeva. Therefore, give me bhakti. Give me bhakti. Evadradaya haragadan Krishna. Therefore, the prayer to Krishna is, I cannot have jnanam, like the way you have spoken about jnanam in the Ekadasha Skandam or in the Bhagavad Gita. Jnana Margam is difficult. I cannot have it. I don't have that capacity to get it. Because after you have heard what about Ekadasha Skandam, anyone can understand that it is not very, it's not easy to access that Jnana Margam. That is the opinion of great devotees. The person who is speaking was a great jnani who is saying this. Mepatru was a very highly learned personality. So learned he was, many, many great personalities came to debate with him much later and lost and gone. And he is saying this, that it didn't work. My jnanam has its own limit. Because they all realized at some point that without Krishna's mercy, it's not going to happen. This is why I'm saying, you may have done everything in this world in spiritual life. Unless that Krishna's mercy starts flowing, it's not going to materialize. The result is not going to happen. So once we know that, is it not better to look for the mercy rather than looking for everything else? So this Dhyana Yogam, all other yoga processes, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, everywhere there is a string attached to it. It is not easy. Process is not easy. Although Krishna talks about all these processes in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, when it comes to our present situation and reality in life, only thing what we can do today is what Krishna is saying is that wait for this mercy, pray for this mercy. Mercy is what? Bhakti. Bhakti is that mercy, what one should be praying to Krishna. That's why Mirpitur said this, Tanmi tul bhakti me vadrade haragadan Krishna. That, give me that bhakti. Give me that bhakti. That, if I get that bhakti, then what that has means, Kripa will follow. That is understood. If bhakti is there, because that's the only way, that mercy will come from Krishna. So, Sandishrayam Sibuyam Sabirajibidaya Karminam Narmidanim Shudranandascha Sanda Bahuvida Gadaya Krishna Debhyo Bhaveyum Karminam Bijibidaya Shreyam Sibuyam Si Abhinirmidani Sandi. There are people who are interested in working in this world, doing a lot of karma margam, or those who are addicted to karmam, according to their taste. For their upliftment, for their development in spiritual life, different processes are also spoken in the world. Krishna Devya Kshudrananda Hasandaja Bahuvida Gadaya Bhaveyum. But all those processes, what is spoken, the results what you get from that is very limited. Results what you get from that is very limited. They may give you some happiness in this world, but eventually they will die away. They will die away. Tumja sakhe shreyasam, tumja jakhyada sakhe nanumahidanamam shreyasam bhaktim ekam. Tumja sakhe shreyasam mahidanamam bhaktim ekam nanu ajakhyada. He says, to Uddhava, Bhattadri is saying, Nilpatur is saying this to Krishna, you spoke to Uddhava that day, and you mentioned that there, that bhakti is the most important thing what one should look for in spiritual life. Did you not speak like that to Uddhava on that day? Vishaya jusham tol bhakti ananda tulya khali vishaya jusham samadha kenava syal. That those who are absorbed in, even to some extent, in sense enjoyment, even for them, the happy process or easiest process is still bhakti, because they can, even while to some extent they are attracted to senses and sense enjoyment in this world, tol bhakti ananda tulyam, bhakti will still give them some happiness even while engaged in the life in this world. Though for a proper devotee, he only needs bhakti. He doesn't need anything else. He won't ask for anything else. That's why. Tol bhaktiya tushta buddhi sukhamiha charado vichyudasasya jashaha sarvasya saukhya maya salila kuharaga seva doyaiga maya. Then, when there is proper bhakti in a person's heart, normally there will not be much desire inside, in the heart. There won't be any desires inside. And he will be able to live in this world without being disturbed too much about the life in this world. Only disturbances are coming from, where is the disturbances coming from? Disturbances coming from the desires inside. Various kinds of desires, they come and disturb inside. So he says here, sarvasya saukhya maya salila kuharaga seva toya iga maya. So therefore, such a person, then one who is living in this world, or one who is drowning in this world, for him everything is water in this world, isn't it? Similarly, one who is engaging in sense gratification, the whole world is for sense gratification for him. He cannot see anything else in this world. Gratify the senses. That'll be the only thing. Soyam kalindra logam kamalaja bhavanam hridya yoga siddhi chana akamshadi. Soyam kalindra logam kamalaja bhavanam yoga siddhi shakhdya nagam shate tadastam soyam anubadide mosha sauke paniha. Says here, devotee on the other hand, even if you offer him the position of Indra or even Lord Brahma, and even if you give him all the siddhis, Ashtaishwari siddhis, what is mentioned there, he even, what to talk about liberation, a devotee is not interested. What will happen to him is that, because of the bhakti inside of that person, when Krishna's mercy starts flowing, he will experience that state of bhakti and a happiness that is coming from that surrender, sharanagati to Krishna, that he will not desire anything else in his existence. That is the glorification of bhakti. So bhakti is spoken all there. And after that, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, for that person who is following the process of bhakti, this Dhyana Yogam can help. That is how Dhyana Yogam has been introduced. So prior to Dhyana Yogam, bhakti must develop in the heart. But when bhakti develops in the heart, Dhyana Yogam will become a natural phenomenon. Natural phenomenon. It will become a natural thing because bhakti has come to the heart. When you have no bhakti and when you try to do meditation or dhyanam, Dhyana Yogam, it will not become successful. It will fail. That is the point Krishna is making. That is why prior to Dhyana Yogam, Krishna spoke about bhakti for this reason only. When bhakti is the one, what Krishna says, you should get it somehow in this life. If bhakti is there, even if one has to take another birth, another life comes, then if this bhakti will give him an opportunity to close the business here once for all, even if one has to come back here. So, in Krishna's point of view, although we talked about dehastobina dehasta, that we should remain able to come out of this body while living within this body, that is all very much a knowledge side, jnanamargam that is. But Krishna is saying here, everything is easier, the process is a lot easier if you follow it through bhakti, process of bhakti. If bhakti comes, Krishna says what will happen for that person? When bhakti comes, he surrenders to Krishna. That means that is a symptom of a person who has got bhakti is Sharanagati. He surrenders to Krishna. He does not see anything in this world as his own. Everything is Krishna's for him. And that person surrenders everything to Krishna. And in that surrendered mood, he cries. He cries to Krishna for help. And that is when Krishna's mercy comes to the devotee. To the devotee. When devotee receives that Krishna's mercy, then his Dhyana Yogam, all other Yogam becomes, Jnana Yogam, everything becomes easier for him. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says the same thing. In Kali Yugam, it will be very difficult, all other yoga processes apart from bhakti. And then Krishna also talked about Tval bhakto badhyamano abhija visheyarasai indriya shanti hedor bhakti vakramyamane punaravigulider nurbaler nabhijaya saptarchir dipidarchir hadigilayadha bhuridharu prabancham tval bhakti okhe tadaiva pradhadi duridam durmada kendriyanam. So there Krishna says badhyamano abhi madbhakti. That means a devotee who has, even if he has not completely freed from sense gratification, still, even if they attack him, bhakti will eventually win that case. Bhakti will eventually win. Because if he has got bhakti, then even if he falls victimized by sense gratification, if he has got bhakti, even if he gets victimized by sense gratification, eventually that sense gratification will leave him. Provided he has got bhakti inside. So, and he gave the example, saptarchir dividarchir, that just like the firewood burns everything itself and turns into ashes. And if it happens like indriyanam durmada kwa, then where is the question of the false pride of the mind and the senses going to survive there? And then he mentioned that chittardri bhavam ucher vapushija pulakam harshabashpanja hitva chittam shuddhyet kadamva kimi bhutamasa vidyaya vidha bhaktaha. Then chitardri bhavam, this is what we were discussing, that all great devotees, they have cried in this world. Every great devotee have cried in this world. Chitardri bhavam, that is the well known thing. Anywhere you go and look, they have all cried. Sudama has cried. All the great all wars, if you look, but Vishnu's devotees, they have cried. All the Shiva devotees, Nayanas, they have cried. And even the devotee whom we have come to contact, like Srila Prabhupada, he has cried. He has cried. So there is no devotee who has not cried. It is devotion is always connected with this one emotion of crying. That is a part of that bhakti. It's a part of that bhakti. You cannot separate that out. You can't separate that out. Because the heart has become so pure, inside, freedom from envy, freedom from jealousy and hate, lust, anger, all of them have gone inside. The heart has become so pure inside, automatically the chittardrata. Chittardratam hridaye vijindi bahuvi siddhyanti janmandri. Chittardrati vam uchair vabushuja balagam harshabhashvam jahitva. That when purification happens inside, why we are unable to cry now? Because of the pride inside, isn't it? Pride and the ego inside is preventing us from becoming soft. It has become more stone like that. So he says here, Vabhuja Vabhushita Palagam Harsha Bhashpam Chahitva, that it turns into Bhashpam. Bhashpam means tears. Tears start coming from the eyes. Chitam Shudhyet Kadhamvam Bhakimu Bahudamasa Vidyaya Vidavatehe. That how will it happen? He says here, Chitam Shudhyet, how is the mind going to become purified if you don't cry? That is the question. And one who does not have devotion, even if you perform a lot of austerities in life, it will not purify the mind as quickly as it gets purified by this surrender and crying to Krishna. It is a much faster process to purify inside. So in order to purify chittam, consciousness, Krishna's recommendation also is this sharanagati, surrender and crying to Krishna, to give you that help in spiritual life. Because there is no other way. It is not a process where you have any option. There is no other option. We don't have the option of Jnana Yogam. Because when you turn into Jnana Yogam and look at it, you see the problem there. Not in the state where we are today. And when you talk about any other yoga process, it is equally difficult. Of course, the two major yoga processes Krishna has spoken here is Jnanam and Bhakti. And Karma Yoga is spoken as a necessity for both Jnanam as well as Bhakti. It's a stepping stone to Bhakti or Jnanam, Karma Yoga. Karmam, when it is purified, it develops, it will create necessary purity inside to develop into Bhakti. Similarly, Karmam can develop also according to one Vasanas into Jnanam. So Karmam is only a step towards Jnanam or Bhakti. So out of this Jnanam and Bhakti, Krishna's point is Bhakti Yogam is what Krishna will suggest to us to go to that route, more into the process. And that Bhakti is what? What is Bhakti? Is nothing but Tval Bhakti Sturasa Katharasa Amradajari Nirmarjanena Swayam Siddhyandi. He says Tval Bhakti Stu Katharasa Amradajari. Constantly hearing about Krishna. Constantly hearing about Katharasa Amradajari. Constantly hearing Katha about Krishna. Nirmarjanena Swayam Siddhyandi. If you absorb in that all the time, in a naturally Bhakti, Krishna is guaranteed that it will develop in the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam is only saying that through the life of all these great devotees, that they heard Krishna, about Krishna, they reflected on that and they have developed Bhakti. So, Tval Bhakti Sukadarasam Radajari Nirmarjena Swayam Siddhyandi Vimala Prabhoda Padavi Akleshadastanyudi. That Vimala Prabhoda Padavi, Vimala means it purifies inside very quickly, Bhakti process. Bhakti process purifies inside very quickly. Vimala Padavi Akleshadastanyudi, without a lot of effort. Jnana Margam is a lot of effort in Jnana Margam. Whereas Bhakti Margam is Manojnyam, is beautiful in that way. It's the easiest process. So we will stop there now, and maybe after 10 minutes we will start Bhagavad Gita. That'll be better. Krishna is saying that the process of Bhakti, Krishna recommends, and this Dhyana Yoga, what we are discussing here, is only a continuation of that Bhakti process, which is not of such a importance to us at this point in time. When we reach that stage, Krishna will give that understanding what is necessary. So we'll go take Bhagavad Gita for 10 minutes or so.